Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yes, it's me and all my homies love native manu. This week, e te whanau, we are talking about the Tōrea Tuawhenua, the South Island Pied Oyster Catcher. Oh, that's just beautiful. And here with me, as always, it's the Birdman, it's Pete Tonda.
Morning, Olive. Always good to be here.
Good to be here too with you, Petey. Let's go.
I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's gone into me this morning.
Yep.
Tell us about the classification of this manu, please, Pete.
Yeah, endemic. There are a lot of oyster catcher species around the globe.
Species.
Struggling with my words. Aotea has three endemic species. So the Tōrea Pango, which is a variable oyster catcher, that's recovering but doesn't have that many numbers.
Yep.
The Tōrea Tai, the Chatham Island oyster catcher, that's highly endangered. And the one we're talking about, the Tōrea Tuawhenua. So this one's the most abundant of the three species,
okay.
And there's about 112,000, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
But their population has sort of fluctuated up and down a little bit, and currently they're at risk declining because the numbers are dropping away a little bit, and mostly due to pressures on the breeding grounds and coastal feeding and roosting areas.
Okay.
We'll talk more about that.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Interesting to hear about the numbers of the other manu as well. Let's just get into it. But Tōrea is the general name for oyster catchers, but can also, I think it's also for the South Island pied stilt as well, isn't it?
No. I think that's the...
That was me making things.
I think you imagined that. I think that's the poaka.
I'm just making things up. Tōrea Tuawhenua means oyster catcher from that land over there. So Tua is like beyond whenua land, which is cool. And it's a reference to them breeding in the braided river system of the South Island.
Yes.
My favourite ecosystem. What kind of call do they make, Pete?
Oh, yeah, I can't recreate their call, but there's this, I came across this thing that they, when they call sort of keria, it indicates an approaching storm, and it's sort of saying that people should sort of dig for shellfish before the bad weather arrives.
Wow.
And then when the Tōrea cries Tokia, it indicates the storm was over. Now, I've been listening to all those bird noises. I've been trying to find those sounds, but I can't quite do that.
Didn't quite work for you.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Those are quite hard sounds to make out, especially when they're written out as well. Anyway. But yes, it's also a traditional food source for Māori.
Yeah, like most manu, I think.
Got to get that protein up.
Yeah, they're decent size. But they ate little things like the toho, which was only like bite size.
I've been seeing lots of toho in my garden.
Yes.
And we'll see even more once the bird feeder's
finished.
That's right.
And the bird feeder is in Auckland. It's not quite completed, but next week, I promise.
But yes, a whakatauki for you e te whānau. Haere, mahi kai mau, ka whati te tai, ka pau te Tōrea. Ooh, what does that speak to, Pete?
It says, go get food for yourself. The tide ebbs and the oyster catcher strikes.
Oh, muddy catch.
It's a great saying. Make hay while the sun's shining. Don't sit by idly while opportunities are waiting.
Yep.
And it sort of reflects that behaviour of the Tōrea. They follow the tide line to catch food. And so they've got limited time to grab that food before the tide comes in and covers the feeding grounds.
Yep. So the Tōrea always strikes when the tide is out. Strike while the iron's hot.
As the tide's moving in and out.
Yeah, I love that so much. Yep. How would you describe this bird, Pete? Like, if people don't know what an oyster catcher looks like, and what does the oyster catcher eat?
Very distinctive, good-looking manu that rocks red. Their beaks are long red lances, really strong, tapered.
What's a lance?
Lance is like a long spear. You know the knights, they had lances?
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of like that.
Sorry, I didn't know we were going into kind of like medieval territory.
Yeah. I think they do look a bit like knights when they're strutting around.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Knights on horses with little lances.
And I reckon they look really good in a little suit of armour.
They would do.
Some chain mail.
So anyway, they also have brilliant red eye rings. So I see them as the Elton John of the Manu world.
Love that.
Yep. And their legs are a sort of a more understated red, which doesn't distract from the funky red highlights on the head. The rest of their body is black and white. So
yes.
Black on the head, black on the back and the top of the wings. And it's got some white under the wings and a white breast and belly. So very smart looking manu.
Yeah.
And the males and females look pretty much identical.
Yes.
Not much variation between them, if any.
And for the other oyster catchers, like the Torea Pango,
that's black.
All black.
Yeah.
And the Torea Tai as well?
I think that's variable coloured as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one, black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I love your description of this. Yep. How tall are these manu?
They're sort of 46 centimetres in length.
Yeah.
Got very long legs. Weigh about 550 grams, and they live up to like 25 years.
Wow. That's a hearty life.
That's good. Seasonal distribution, like they breed in the braided river system during spring and summer. But they can also breed in high country grasslands and some coastal areas around estuaries and lagoons, but most of them in the braided river system.
And I guess that makes a lot of sense that they breed also in the high country areas and the estuaries, as though the braided rivers stretch from
higher
grasslands to
the river mouth,
of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so outside the breeding season, they sort of spread around the motu, north and south. Occasionally a few decide to go on holiday to Australia, Vanuatu and New Caledonia and other far-flung islands, honouring the Kiwi OE tradition.
So you think
that's another way of describing vagrant species behaviour.
They're going on the OE.
Yes, exactly.
I really like
exactly.
that. And what do they eat, Petey?
Oh, they eat in coastal areas, they eat marine worms, crustaceans, fish, but they really like bivalves, which are, you know, pippies, mussels, cockles, oysters. And you found out they eat quite a few cockles.
I read, and I didn't actually fact check this, but it was on like an information booklet about them. So I'm assuming.
Oh, I'm sure it's real.
An oyster catcher can eat up to 350 cockles in one day.
You think, crikey. Well, you thought you could eat 400.
I reckon I could eat 400.
With the subsequent consequences. In pasture areas, they eat worms and beetles.
Yummy.
But they're not sure exactly their diet in the braided river system.
Interesting.
Interesting. They know it for other manu in there, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of research on that at the moment.
Well, I hope we find out because I would really like to know that. How do they open the shellfish beak? Because they've got this really beautiful beak, so I imagine they're using that.
Yeah, and you think of oysters and mussels and pippies, they're pretty strong shells that clamp shut. But they've got two methods. So if they find the shellfish and it's sort of feeding and it's slightly open, they stab their lance beak into the shell and they sever the adductor muscles that keep the shells together.
Wow.
And then the shell just falls open and they help themselves.
Smart.
But then if the shell is putting up a fight and it's closed tightly, they get the shell and they just hammer it. They're like this jackhammer. And I saw videos and they just smash it. And then they just.
With the beak, like going.
With the beak, like a jackhammer.
Yeah, okay.
And then it just smashes open and then. And they go for koi.
Do you reckon the jackhammer was modelled off the beak of the oyster catcher?
It could well have been.
Because there's lots of things in our human man-made world that we've copied from nature.
Exactly.
So I'm going to start that conspiracy theory.
I think that's a good theory.
That's so interesting.
Yes,
yeah.
So that's very clever. But for me, the Tauria tua whenua, they're like a lullaby slumber manu.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because they often feed at Maraetai Port Waikato and they feed both at night and day because they follow the tide.
Yep.
And so often I've gone to sleep hearing that constant chattering and calling and it.
Yep.
If you've been hearing that for like 35 years, it becomes like this meditative.
Yeah, it's like part of your sleep hygiene,
eh? It's lovely.
You hear that and you're like, well.
And then I go back to Sandringham and I hear traffic and police helicopters. Doesn't have quite the same vibe.
Wait, the police helicopters don't put you to sleep?
No, they wake me up. I don't know what it is, but there seems to be like a parking spot above our house.
For the police helicopters?
Yes.
I would say that for my fuddy as well.
Yeah.
There's always police helicopters.
Circulating around and it just keeps coming back over your house and drives you nuts.
Go away, guys. Go away.
We're not criminals.
But, yes, constant chattering sends you into a nice sleep.
Yes, it's lovely.
I love that, Pete. As for their breeding, are they monogamous?
Last week I said monogamous, didn't I?
Monogamous. I like when
monogamous.
Monogamous.
I get my words mixed up.
That's okay, bro.
They generally are, but they separate in non-breeding season. And I can imagine the wahine saying, darling, we've spent a heap of time together raising these chicks. Job well done, but I've had a guts full of you. I need a break, so see you next spring. And then the bloke looks really sad, but he's thinking, awesome, I can go fishing with the boys.
Exactly.
I think that's the dynamic.
I just have no words for these like little stories that you make up about
it
the
It feels
pets.
Like a healthy relationship to me.
Yep, I love that. So, yeah, they're breeding on the Braided River systems down in Te Wahi Pounamu.
Yep. Spring and summer.
What does their nest look like?
It's just a simple scrape in the sand, gravel or soil.
Mm.
They like good visibility around the nest.
Yep.
1 to 3 eggs. Both incubate the eggs for 24 to 28 days and they fledge after another sort of 28 to 42 days. And then the young start breeding about 3 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty standard, would you say?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll get into the scrape nest, I imagine, in this bit of how we can. I mean, scrape nests are always very vulnerable to people going over the river systems in their four-wheel drive vehicles.
That's true.
As for more threats, Pete, what have we.
They used to be game birds, and
really? They
used to shoot them, and so their numbers got down quite low. They got legally protected about 1922, so their numbers sort of started to shoot upwards. Pretty good numbers with over 100,000. But in recent times, they're starting to go into a bit of a decline.
Yeah.
And that's because there's more pressures and threats in the Braided River system.
Yeah.
And coastal development and human activities are impacting feeding and roosting areas in those coastal estuary type areas.
Yes.
So
yeah.
That seems to be having a downward trend on their numbers.
Yeah, definitely.
But I came across this
What did you come across?
Interesting innovation.
Awesome.
A bit of research done by Manaaki Whenua, Landcare Research, carried out in 2016-17. They experimented with spreading fake news for predators in the Mackenzie Basin.
Shout out to the Mackenzie Basin, my home.
Yes. So what they did is they focused on the nesting areas for the Nutupari, the Waraibill, the Pohowera, the Banded Dotterel, and our manu today, the Tauria tua whenua. And so 5 weeks prior to breeding season, the researchers place strong bird smells throughout those nesting areas.
How do you place a strong bird smell?
They extract the smells of birds off like bits of chicken and bits of commercially manufactured quail and other birds.
Oh.
So it's like making a perfume of bird smells.
Well, that's what I was
going
to say. Like, how do you... anyway,
I'm
keep
not sure
going.
Of the science, but they have the strong, strong bird smell.
I'm like, can I buy it from Mecca Cosmetica?
Probably not yet. And so they squirt that on the nesting areas, brings in the predators. They all come in, oh, birds.
Yeah.
But then they find nothing there. And so they do that for 5 weeks and they keep coming back to try and find food and there's nothing there and then they lose interest. And then the real birds come in and breed and most of the predators say there's nothing there, so only a few of them turn up.
Wow, 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 this is really cool.
That's cool, isn't it?
It's so cool.
And so their breeding success on those trials were about 3 times as good as normal.
I'm stunned.
I think that's very clever research.
That is very clever research.
I haven't been able to find whether they're doing anything with that research and applying it on an ongoing basis, but it's certainly got potential.
I love that. That's so clever. Wow, I'm like actually shocked. I can't really say anything. But yes, that is really cool.
Yes, it is. There's some really,
really
smart
cool.
people around.
And they're not. It's not. Us.
Not us. No,
yeah.
No,
right.
Anyway, but hopefully, hopefully they can do these sort of things and they'll help the other birds in that system as well.
Definitely.
And, you know, these birds, they're so full of character.
Yeah, they really
They provide
are.
That coastal choir that sort of embeds in your psyche.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, like always, we just got to do more to look after them.
Absolutely, with every Manu that we talk about.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've got a song for us today, Pete, as always.
Song from the Chills, Pink Frost, one of the great Christchurch bands of, I think it was around the 80s. So it's connected to that part of Aotearoa and the Braided River systems.
Yeah.
It's a cool band, no pun intended, or a cool Manu.
Shot beat, thank you.
It's a dad joke to finish.
Stop the crying.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.